Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, wherever you are in the world. Live from Boston, this is VitFriends Blog Talk Radio. It's very rare that we do a morning show, but with our special guest, we had to do this for you. And again, this is June. We're midpoint of the Vitiligo Awareness Month, and we're doing all that we can to celebrate vitiligo, wearing our purple, wearing our T-shirt, wearing our purple lipstick, wearing our purple hair, and doing all sorts of things. And folks are celebrating across the globe. I mentioned yesterday that I got information from the Bangladesh Vitiligo group. I've heard from the Caribbean group. I've heard from various groups, and we are celebrating ourselves because guess what? Folks don't often celebrate us, so we're doing it for ourselves. And so one of the things we decided to do with our live blog talk radio show is to feature our young people, and my co-host Mark of North Carolina is featuring adults and talking about vitiligo and talking about love. But I have the pleasure, the esteemed pleasure of interviewing, and I hope you get a chance to listen to the ones that we've done before. They're all there for you, recorded on our blog site. So you can go at them at any time and listen to them. Again, we're celebrating 10 years on our blog talk radio show. And this morning, it is my pleasure to introduce and to talk a little bit with April Starr, and she is out of Florida. And, you know, I was talking to someone this week when we first got introduced to this little young lady. We saw her on the Oprah Winfrey Show with model Winnie Harlow. And ladies and gentlemen, I introduce to you now, and she can tell you who she is, how old she is, where she is in life. This young lady is, again, model April Starr. Welcome, April, to Blog Talk Radio. How are you?
Hi. Good morning. I'm good. I hope everybody else is good out there.
Tell us who April is.
Well, to kind of sum it up, I got vitiligo when I was 5 years old, and instead of, you know, I guess most kids my age that would have vitiligo hiding or trying to find, you know, ways to cover it, I guess I would say, I embraced it more, and I started taking pictures of myself and posting on different social medias, and it kind of just blew up from there, and I started spreading awareness about it because no one knew, like, what it was or anything about it, and I wanted to know more. So I kind of just put myself out there so that I can, you know, be kind of like a guide to people that are younger than me or my age that have vitiligo that think that they can't, you know, do what they want to do, but they can.
So let's hear this again. You first had vitiligo at age 5?
Yes, ma'am.
And were you, was your family aware of what this condition is, or did they go to the doctor and found out what?
I had a scar on my forehead, and it stayed white for like a while. So my mom ended up taking me to the doctor, and when they told her what it was, she kind of had a panic attack because she didn't know what it was. She never heard of it before. So she had like a panic attack, and, you know, she kind of like, she didn't know, like, she knew what it was. So that's when my family just went into research mode and did everything they can do, started finding, like, you know, people that else had it that can relate to me, and it kind of just went on from there.
Did your mom seek out treatment, or did the doctor recommend that you do some kind of treatment for it?
My doctor, when I had it for about 2 years and started spreading more, my doctor, they wanted us to do a laser treatment that was experimental, and I did it for about a year, and my vitiligo went completely away, and I stopped doing it. I just said to my mom, I said, I don't want to do it anymore because I don't have a problem with the way I look, so I didn't want to do it anymore. And as soon as I stopped doing it, like a week later, all my vitiligo came back.
Like, oh, boy.
Like a week later, everything came back.
Oh, my goodness. Now, how old were you at that point, do you think? How old were you at that point?
at that point, I was like seven or eight. I was starting like first grade, kindergarten, I think. And that's when it really, like, it came back even stronger after the treatment. And, you know, my family did their best for me and helped me through it. Mm. And we just went from there.
Now, how old are you right now?
I just turned 15, April 3rd.
15, and are you in what grade?
I'm going into my sophomore year in high school, going into 10th grade.
Awesome, awesome. Now, your years in those elementary grades, did you experience any bullying, kids bothering you, pointing out your vitiligo, teasing you, anything?
Since I moved from one place to another in elementary school, people that, like, knew me at my old school, they kind of knew me already, so it wasn't, like, new to them. But when I moved to a new school, it was very, very new for everyone that was around me because I'd never seen anybody with vitiligo before. I wouldn't say that they were bullying me. It was more, like, treating me differently, staring, you know, not there. I mean, we were kids, didn't know any better. So what I did was just try to educate them and tell them, like, oh, this is what I have. You know, it's not contagious, not a big deal or anything. And I think that's what will help people understand more, was that they just were kind of clueless of what I had. They didn't know, like, what to do or, like, how to act around me. And I just had to, like, make it clear to them, like, you know, it's okay, I'm fine. I'm not, like, you know, it's not really as big of a deal as people make it out to be. So I just kind of explained to them.
But you said you had vitiligo at age five. So let's go back a bit to, say, your kindergarten coming into kindergarten and first grade. I could see kids on the playground not wanting, you know, did you experience any of that in those earlier? Tell us about that.
When I first got vitiligo when I was, like, younger, it was only on my forehead and on my, like, back and stuff. So people didn't see it as much as they do now. So, like, people didn't really see except when it was on my forehead. And even then, kids were, like, you know, they would stare at me a lot, and they would make jokes, but not in, like, a mean way, but they would make jokes that would hurt my feelings at the time. And again, I was just pointing to them, like, oh, this is what I have. But before, even when I was, like, little, you know, like, kindergarten, I would just try to ignore it, and I would just go home, and, like, I was always, like, you know, I was kind of, like, really sad for a little minute because I didn't feel like I didn't want to keep explaining myself to people, like, to strangers.
Yes.
But that's really when I realized, you know, they don't know. There's nothing that you can do. People have vitiligo. Like, people still don't know what vitiligo is. So, again,
and
I try to educate people. And
go ahead.
And I just had to educate people and, you know, hope for the best. And if they didn't get it, they didn't get it. And I guess that's kind of why I blew up so big, because at one point I just kind of didn't care, you know.
Yeah.
It was like, if you don't get it, that's fine. You'll get it. Moving on.
Wonderful, wonderful. You had just this strength, it sounds like, from a very young kid. You had this strength. You sort of knew who you are. You knew yourself, and you're strong from very young. That's beautiful.
Thank you. Beautiful. I get a lot of that from my family, though. They kind of
yes,
love me a lot.
Absolutely. So, again, to our friends who are listening, whether you're in Australia, whether you're in Russia, whether you're in the Caribbean, Florida, we have friends now in Nevada. Listen, you're, again, listening live to Vitiligo with Friends Blog Talk Radio as we're celebrating Vitiligo Awareness Month with our special guest this morning, who is April Starr out of Florida. And so, going through those years, now you're 15, now you're a sophomore in high school. What have you been doing? We've seen GAP, we've seen all of that. Tell us how you got into the modeling TV industry. Tell us how you got into that.
It really all started with Instagram, and my sister actually, she was modeling, like, her small companies on Instagram. It started recording me and posting me on her page. And then everyone was like, oh, my God, make an account for her. Like, she's so pretty. So she made an account for me, and it took off from there. Like, the first night I had, like, 500 followers, and everybody was like, oh, my God, like, who is this little girl? And from there it kind of just started off, like, you know, people was reaching out to me to take pictures for their clothes and sending me clothes to model in, and we just took pictures. Literally, my sister would literally take a sheet and hang it up on the wall and then take pictures on the sheet as, like, a backdrop. And that's really where it started from. We just took some pictures in the room with our phones, anything that we could find, and just posting, so people could really do it theoretically. People can see, like, you know, this is what it is. And it kind of went off from there, really.
That's beautiful. Now, how did you connect with model Winnie Harlow?
Well, with Winnie, when we met, just because it was crazy to me, because when I first saw vitiligo, she was the first person that I saw with it, her and Sean Ross. Not that he has vitiligo, but, like, the first people that I saw that were different, that were actually, like, modeling and doing big things. And I was watching her on America's Next Top Model, and it was just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, she's like me, and she's, look what she's doing. Like, she's modeling for Victoria's Secret, and it amazed me. And I, like, she was like my role model. I looked up to her. I would post her on my Instagram page when I was little, and, like, meeting her was crazy. So when we met, we had an instant connection, because, you know, it was almost like she understood me. Like, she knew where I was going, and she understood where I wanted to go, like, who I wanted to be. And she understood my place, because she was where I am. So we had that instant connection when we met, and that was amazing.
Beautiful. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, where I first saw you was on, was it the Oprah show or was it somebody else's show?
It was The Real daytime show.
That was the first place you two were together?
Yes, it was The Real daytime show. That's where we met.
Okay, awesome. Are you still doing any work with Winnie Harlow?
Not at the moment, no. We do talk regularly and stuff, but she is really, really busy, so not at the moment, no. We're not doing any work together.
All right, tell us about The Gap. It was so beautiful to see you in The Gap commercial or The Gap posters in the Macy's, I believe. Tell us how that came about.
The Gap, oh, my God, it was so fun. So they reached out to me with their Beauty and the Beast campaign that they did. And I flew out to New York, and we did, like, I think we did, like, 3 or 4 shoots in one day. And it was the best experience of my life. When the photo shoot was over, I was just kind of in shock, because I can't believe I just did that. And what's crazy is actually, like, a couple weeks later when I went home and it was over and everything, because, you know, when you do photo shoots, you don't see the pictures for, like, a couple weeks. So I was sitting at home with my friends in the room, and then we were on Instagram just scrolling, and we saw all the ads, and it was me, like, and I was like, oh, my God, that's me. Like, we were, like, just scrolling, and we saw my ads. We went to the mall. We saw my face. That was, like, an experience I would love to relive. Like, that was amazing. Like, seeing my own face on those big posters in the windows in the mall, and it's like, I have vitiligo, and, you know, usually you see, like, it's kind of a stereotype when you see people, like, models in the window. So seeing me, like, that was amazing, seeing myself.
You are just as beautiful as them. So you have every right.
Thank
God for that opportunity. Oh, my goodness. When I saw it, I mean, I froze and I, you know, took pictures. And I, as I walked away, I looked back at other people that was coming up through the window and doing the same thing. Oh, my gosh, they were taking pictures of you. We're just so proud. And for parents that are out there listening, especially those from our pen pal, Patch Children's Division, what April is saying is that vitiligo shouldn't stop you. Isn't that what you're saying? Am I taking words from your mouth? What are you saying?
It shouldn't at all. It shouldn't stop you at all. You should just, you know, no matter how you
go for your dream,
just do it, because who's stopping you?
Yeah. Well, let me go to another topic for a quick minute. So we were preparing and planning. I was deep in planning for the 2016 Vitiligo gathering on the Capitol steps. It was a lot of work. And one of the people I spoke to was Jan Valley, and he said, we got to get Winnie Harlow. So we tried to get Winnie, but of course she was busy and whatever. And I don't know how he connected, but what about the little girl that was with Winnie? And we started doing our research. We stumbled upon your mom's information. We reached out to your mom, and, oh, my gosh. Tell us about your experience coming to the first national gathering on the Capitol steps, Vitiligo folks coming together in 2016. That's when I met for the first time your entire family. Tell us about that experience and what it did for you.
I love it. I love going. But my first time, it was crazy to me because I've never seen a person with vitiligo in person before that, and before I met Winnie Harlow. I never mm-hmm. used people with vitiligo around me. I never used to see anybody in my town with vitiligo. Going there and seeing people around me with such great energy, such great vibes, it was amazing. Meeting people my age that I'm still friends with today
yeah.
that have vitiligo,
yeah.
and you know, being able to just be around people that understand what I'm going through and that, you know, I can talk to them and they actually get it. That was an experience. That was amazing, and I love that you guys started that, and I hope that it goes on forever.
Well, thank you. Well, let me tell you, one of the things when I heard who you were, and I didn't hear your voice, I didn't know anything really about you, but I said, oh, my God, it'd be nice to have the kids speak. Tell their story. And when I asked your mom,
yeah.
your mom said she'll talk
yeah.
to you. How was that, speaking to an audience of over 200 people?
Honestly, I was a little bit nervous, but once I
yeah.
saw everyone's face when they looked at me, that all that nerves kind of went away because being around you guys is so, like, you get, like, such a support feeling. So it's kind of like talking from a really big family and just, like, you're sitting around a big old family, you guys are just talking. So it really just came
yeah.
naturally when I got up there.
Now, let me tell you, I looked around that day in the audience, and I saw tears. I saw tears from adults. I saw tears from children just about our coming together. But to hear you speak, to hear Alicia, to hear folks telling their story and to see, like you're saying, seeing other people that look exactly like you, I saw so much tears of joy that day. What was your experience like when you engaged with other folks?
For, you know, it's really almost, not even almost, it's inspiring to know that people are out there like me, because when you have the vitiligo and you don't see people around you, you kind of feel alone sometimes.
Mm.
But going out there once and seeing everyone like you, it just gives you that extra boost of confidence, like, wow, these people are gorgeous, and, you know, they're like
yes.
me, and they're all here supporting each other. So it just gives you that extra boost of confidence that I feel like people are like, oh, they need.
Yeah, totally, totally. Well, here's my last question as along this line of conversation. If there's somebody out there listening to us talk about this vitiligo conference, what would you say to them? Is it important for them to come to attend a vitiligo conference?
I think it is. I think no matter what age they are, if they do have
mm-hmm.
vitiligo, I think they should make the trip and come, not only to see people that's like you, but to, you know, get advice, to get pamphlets, to listen to speakers that come, to see
yeah.
people that own businesses that have vitiligo, just to support people that are like us. So I think it's really important for people that have vitiligo to come. Because I'm telling you, once you go there for that first time, it's an experience you don't want to, like, miss again. So I think, yes,
mm-hmm.
I really do think if someone has vitiligo, they should definitely make the trip and go.
Well, thank you for that plug. We definitely need to encourage people. Yes, groups do different things, with, you know, in their home state. But to come together as a unified body and to see other people, like
yes.
you're saying, and
yes.
to embrace, and to, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing.
It is.
Now, you just said that you're you're a sophomore in high school.
Yes.
So
yes.
you, of course, have just gone through this distance learning, online learning. How was that experience for you?
Well, it wasn't that bad for me since I've been homeschooled since about 2 years. So
okay.
Like, it wasn't different at all. It was just doing the same thing I've been doing, except it was kind of weird because we couldn't leave the house when I was homeschooled.
Right.
I would go places a lot, and now it was kind of like being homeschooled, but you couldn't leave the house. So for me, it wasn't that bad.
Mm.
I feel like my friends actually go to school. It was hard for them because they couldn't go to school, but since I'm homeschooled, it wasn't that hard for me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know people with beginning to schools are closing for myself. School is done this Friday, and so people would normally be thinking about vacation and summer plans. I know your family like to get in that car. So with things going on, what are your summer plans?
Well, since summer has already started, I'm actually going to California with my sisters, and we're going to go take my quince pictures because in Cuban tradition, when I turn 15, I have to have a quince, but this year we couldn't do it because we were in quarantine during my 15th birthday. So, you know, we had a small get-together, and then instead we're just going to go take my quince pictures in California together.
Awesome.
So I'm really
excited
about that.
Well, enjoy that, and like everything else we say, be safe, be safe, be safe, be safe. If I had to ask you this question, I wonder what your answer would be, so let me do it. Right now, at age 15, you're a sophomore, life is going good, well, except for COVID-19 and racial issues in the world. What is April's greatest wish? If I had a magic wand right now, or a genie should come down, what is April's greatest wish?
Honestly, just to reach out to everyone that's different and to make them see them how I see them. You know, people that are so, like, lack of, you know, confidence, just to kind of give them that little push and tell them, like, you know, you're beautiful, you know, you're worth it, because that can really go a long way. Hearing from someone that, you know, you are pretty can go a really long way, especially nowadays. My one wish would really just be to reach out, to be able to get to everyone.
We get calls, we get letters, we get emails from parents. I think we had one earlier this week. Parents with a new diagnosis for the first time, just like your mom had with you, of vitiligo for their beautiful little boy or girl, and they don't know what to do. What would you tell them? How devastating is vitiligo?
Honestly, just try to keep things as normal as possible. I know that sounds kind of weird, but I would say don't try and make it seem like your child is, like, you know, like, dying or anything. Like, I would say keep it as normal as possible, because it is normal. It's a skin, you know, it's a skin condition. It's normal. So I would say just try to keep it that way, because to me, when my family kept it as normal as possible, that's really what helped me. So I would say educate yourself first and foremost. Know what you're dealing with and educate yourself on it, and then keep things as normal as possible, because it's normal. Like, you know, just know what you're dealing with. A lot of people don't do research, and then just, you know, they don't speak with facts, and I think people should just research what they're doing first and then keep things as normal as possible for the kids' sake.
Yes. Well, listen, before you leave me, I know Mom speaks Spanish. I don't know. How much Spanish do you know?
Not that much, actually.
The reason I asked that is because we have a big friend, Cuba, and I wanted you, if you could, to say Happy Vitiligo Awareness Month in Spanish. Is that possible?
No, I don't know anything. So I'm so sorry.
Where's mom?
Spanish. Do you want me to get her?
Yes, because we have a VIT Friends, and hello to our VIT Friends group in Cuba, under the leadership of Professor George. We wanted to say a greeting. I thought April knew some Spanish, but Mom does.
She's not here.
Okay, not a problem. That's not a problem. So why don't you just say a greeting, finally, before we leave, say a greeting to our friends globally who are listening, give them a message about Vitiligo Awareness Month and to enjoy themselves or something. You have the closing word. Go ahead.
Hello, everyone. I love you guys so much. Stay safe during this time. And just remember, keep loving yourself, regardless of what anyone else is telling you. You're beautiful inside and out.
And April, I thank you.
Can't make a difference.
That's right.
You're welcome.
That's right.
I love talking to you guys this morning.
Thank you so much. And on behalf of Vit Friends, the Vitiligo Support Group, we love you. Mom will hear from me later this afternoon. Give Dad my regards. Take care of yourself and enjoy your summer. Thank you for your time this morning.
You're welcome. You have a good summer.
Bye-bye now. Thank you. You too. Thank you. Bye-bye. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, live from Florida. That was my special guest, April Starr, and she's just giving you a little about what she has experienced with her vitiligo, where she's been, what she's done. Oh, my goodness, if you've not seen her picture on that Gap commercial, I saw it in Macy's, and I was blown away. We're just so grateful for her journey. For her family support, they're incredible people, especially Dad. He's my buddy, my pal, Dave. Thinking about you, Yen, you know I love you, girl. Thank you so much for listening to us. We are, again, Vit Friends Blog Talk Radio, and it's our first morning show in a very, very long time. But I had to get a hold of this very special guest to share with you. Listen, continue to enjoy the rest of your week. We encourage you to stay safe. COVID-19, they're saying, is not gone away. So do all you can. Take all the precautions you need to take. And as April said, love yourself. We love you, but it begins with you loving yourself. To all of our young people out there, the children, my heart goes out to families in this time. Some are housebound with, you know, so much going on. I was saying to someone at church, could you think of a mom trying to cook, trying to teach, trying to work for their job, trying to be the nurse, trying to be the doctor, and it's just so much. So mothers with young children, our hats are off to you. We stand in support of what you're doing. Please join me tomorrow. Tomorrow is Thursday, the 18th, and I will be speaking to Abdiel at 6:30. He is from Nashua, New Hampshire. We love you. Go out and make it a great day, whatever you do. God bless.